Hey, and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez, and my special co-host today is...
Brian Peake.
Brian Peake, what would you say you do here?
Tolerate you.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm a technical evangelist on the Channel 9 team working on coding for fun goodness.
Yes, and Brian, normally you work out of New York, so...
I do. Upstate New York.
Yes.
Let's give no false impressions of where I live. Yes.
Yes, which is not,
It's not the real New York, no.
Totally different. Yeah. And you're in town.
I'm in town, for VS Live. Did a session there and working in the office here on campus.
Cool. So a lot of stuff happened this week. We'll just jump right to it. Our first story is Build 2012. So yesterday, and that would be 2 days ago for many folks watching, on 8-8 at 8 a.m., we put tickets for the Build conference available, and I think they sold out in like an hour,
yeah,
basically, which is pretty awesome. Now, we will be streaming the keynotes live from Build, so if you can attend,
sure,
you can actually check those out. But I think it's awesome, and there's definitely a lot of excitement given the amount of stuff we're going to be talking about. So from Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, Windows Server 2012.
Mm-hmm. Azure goodness.
Azure goodness. There's just so much going on and so much in terms of the conference that it should be awesome. And again, it is in Redmond, so
right,
people come get to visit.
Yeah, they get to see what I don't get to see every day, but that is amazing and fun here on campus.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So our next story here, Brian, what's this?
So this is about the Portable Class Library, which is part of Visual Studio 2012 and .NET 4.5, and this kind of existed previously. I'm not sure if it was a CTP or a preview or whatnot, but this is now a real thing that's in Visual Studio 2012. So the concept here is you can build an assembly and you can choose what your target outputs are. So
right.
I want to write code and I want to build one assembly that's going to work in Silverlight and WPF and maybe on the Xbox 360, maybe on Windows Phone. And it's going to create targets for all of those things, but it's also going to stop me from writing code that won't work on one of those platforms.
Right, so if you're doing something that's platform specific to just .NET 4.5, it'll actually tell you and give you those errors.
Exactly. But it's a very easy way. Instead of, we've gone through this when Project Detroit and whatnot.
Detroit, yeah. We had so many things where the same code is literally running on Windows 8, mm-hmm, WPF, and in Phone.
Exactly, and we always had to create these, you know, multiple projects with linked files, and it gets really difficult
exactly
to maintain.
Yeah, the linked files or doing the conditional compilation
exactly,
for
yep,
the targets.
Yep.
Yeah, Portable Class Library is the way to go.
Absolutely, yeah, this fixes all of that stuff, so give it a try.
Yeah, it just didn't exist when we wanted it, but that's fine. JavaScript Fundamentals. Now, this is another series by Bob Tabor. We had announced the HTML CSS for Absolute Beginners. This is the follow-on series that's just JavaScript programming. So, well, the last series was, you know, taking you through all sorts of things with HTML, HTML5, mm-hmm, and CSS3. This series is about talking about JavaScript and programming and things like variables. And again, these are designed not for programmers, but non-programmers. The one thing, if somebody says, hey, I want to become a programmer, how do I learn to, you know, build my own, mm-hmm, website? This is the series to point them to.
Sure.
And Bob does some awesome work, so kudos for this, and hopefully a lot of you will be watching.
Yeah, and with my minimal JavaScript knowledge, I might actually be looking at that too.
There you go.
Exactly.
See?
Yeah.
Another view.
Yeah.
Now, Windows 8 App Developer blog had a post on Windows runtime components to deliver great Metro-style apps. What's this?
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool because this is something that I've been doing a lot of myself lately with the Kinect socket service and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the process of how to build a component in the Windows runtime that can be consumed by anything else in the Windows runtime. So you might have some Win32 code that you need to wrap.
Yes.
And you want to use that in your HTML JavaScript app.
C#.
Or in C# or in VB. Or C++. But mm-hmm, this tells you, it's two examples. One, how to build one in C++ that wraps the X input API, just as an example. It could be X Audio or any other Win32 type thing. So just how to build that WinMD component that can be consumed by other Windows runtime applications, which is cool. You can do Win32 and COM. But the one that I thought was really interesting was they build a Windows MD, a Windows runtime component in C# that wraps the zip archive class that's new to .NET 4.5. That doesn't exist in C++ and doesn't exist in JavaScript, but it shows you how to write that component in C# as
but
a wrapper.
Can you actually use that in the store?
Yeah.
Even though it's calling .NET 4.5 libraries?
It should. Because you're calling down to 4 or 5 libraries, but you're wrapping it up in a Windows runtime component.
Hmm.
And that Windows runtime component can then be consumed by C++ or JavaScript. So it allows you to build this component that, so you can actually create a zip file now in an HTML JavaScript application.
So you can use any .NET 4 or 5 feature just by wrapping it in a Windows
any approved .NET 4 or 5 feature. Zip archive is one of them.
How would one know what approved archive features are?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that question.
Okay, good. Yeah. An exercise for the viewer.
Exercise for the reader. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
I think the answer is it'll stop you from use because you know when the project gets created, it has just that single reference in .NET 4 or 5. When you're doing a Windows MD component, it'll stop you from using stuff you can't use because it doesn't exist in that one reference.
Okay.
It's like the the .NET 4 client versus full profile. This is like a profile for Windows components.
Well, the reason why is because I thought .NET existed on the WinRT side. Zip class libraries existed on the WinRT side
they
already.
They do not. Okay. I went through this when we were doing the snippet stuff for later, but yes.
Okay, so Tim Heuer had a blog post on how to use SQLite with Windows 8 apps, and we did cover the announcement when SQLite had rebuilt, and I think they were using 99% of their code base did not change to be able to work for the Windows runtime. This post walked you through exactly how to set it up, because one of the challenges was you'd have to include different SQLites for different processor architectures, just
sure.
the way things were set up.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've actually built this nice thing in a Visual Studio Gallery, and you do the search for extensions, hit SQLite, you can actually double-click that, and then go into the Windows extensions. And again, Tim has the nice screenshots of this, and you have to make sure to hit the C++ as well as the SQLite. You can add this in and then start programming directly in SQLite and say JavaScript or C Sharp or
that's great.
Whatever.
So you don't have to compile the source code yourself anymore. It's just a nice assembly that you reference
yes,
and everybody's
happy.
Yes,
because the majority of people don't want to download everything, compile, and
that doesn't sound like fun.
Just, make it reusable. Okay. So. And because of all the C++ stuff, it's not NuGettable as well, which is another thing where people were asking for.
Right.
So cool stuff. So what's this?
So this is a blog post that talks more about the portable class library, which we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
but gives a couple of great examples on how to reuse code across Windows 8 and Windows Phone apps.
Okay.
So this kind of combines MVVM with the portable class library to create interfaces that can be implemented by your client application to share that code across multiple platforms. So again, you're still building, you know, one assembly
mm-hmm.
that works across the multiple platforms, but using the magic of MVVM, you can actually create interfaces that get implemented using the PCL that then give you a single code base for developing applications. Obviously, not your UI, but your backend components for Windows Phone and Windows 8.
Interesting. Yeah, I think what I'd want to see is because I think there was observable collections were a little weird across
mm-hmm.
platforms, and that was one of the things I wasn't sure where that landed in the portable class library. So
I'm not sure on that one.
I'm gonna have to read this article. All right, so Callisto, another Tim Heuer. Now, for those folks who have been using the Windows 8 XAML cookbook examples, are probably familiar with Callisto already. But this is adding it as a control suite in the Visual Studio Gallery. So it's a series of controls that you can reuse. So things like a flyout, a menu to be used from the app bar, menu items, settings flyout, live tile. People are probably familiar that have done Windows Phone, familiar with the tilt where it gives kind of that tilt experience when clicked on edges and so on. And then some just helpers for things like Boolean to visible. So if it's, you know, a Boolean, I want to make it visible or not.
Yeah, the flyout and settings flyout there are very helpful because they're not built into WinRT on the C-sharp, on the .NET side. So those are two things that I will definitely be using.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So cool stuff and definitely something to add to your components library.
Indeed.
Now, what's this?
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool. Microsoft has released a ton of free ebooks. It's covering stuff, I mean, from, you know, developer side, Visual Studio and languages, to IT side with, you know, Windows 8 and Windows 7 kind of management and administration, to
mm-hmm.
just, you know, user tools like Office and Office 365 and 2010. Just tons and tons and tons of content. So when you know, your mom says, "Hey, how do I make this bold-faced in Word?" You can point her at this site and give her, you know, the Office 2 or the Office 2010
ebook. But Adobe says it needs an update.
An update, exactly. I know, maybe you're trading one problem for another here, but at the same time, just a ton of great information and
I
entirely free.
I told you to
free.
Use Nitro, Ma. Jeez. Ma.
Yeah, my mom can get downloaded Nitro and get that installed. Sure.
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 Why not? Next up is Defrag Tools. So this is a new series by Andrew Richards and our friend Larry Larson. Going through different tools that people have for, you know, say, diagnosing what's going on a machine. So, you know, we jokingly call this the spin-off of Defrag, kind of like...
Defrag New York?
This is Defrag New York. It's okay. Just useful tools. So first one was building your USB thumb drive. This one is walking through Process Explorer, and there's certainly a lot more tools that people use to diagnose what's going on a machine.
Okay.
So,
will there be a Defrag Miami at any point?
God, I hope not. Not Miami! Because we have Miami Vice coming. But, ooh, spoiler.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to our Picks of the Week!
Yay!
Brian, what is your pick?
My pick is actually, this was just posted last night sometime. It's called Kinetra, which I guess is French, and I won't go with a poor French accent. But this is a kind of a weird Kinect project out of Microsoft Research in Cambridge that... It's the video. You really need to watch the video to understand this. But the concept is it uses Kinect Fusion.
Okay.
So you take a Kinect and you can point it at any 3D object and it scans that object in
right.
as a model. And then you stand in front of the Kinect. And so it captures your skeleton and then you say a voice command and it then ties your skeleton to points in that model so you can actually move the model around.
So I see horse.
You
what
see
is
a horse.
Horse.
So the horse example in this video is they scanned in a little model of a horse, and then two people stood in front of each other, front and back, as the front legs and rear legs of the horse. I mean, this is
so
like
two people. One person was the front. This is Spies Like Us.
Exactly, Spies Like Us. That's a great example. Yeah, or I mean, any old Three Stooges short. I mean, they did this 1,000 times too. But and so you mean you have to move your legs in parallel, or you know the horse. Looks kind of weird if you're walking with, you know, both legs, the wrong legs at the wrong time.
Why is horse on Kinect? I don't understand.
Right. Very nice. One of the examples is they both jump up and down at the same time, so it looks like the horse is jumping.
Oh, nice.
They scan in a chair.
You got to watch the video.
You really need to watch the video to have this make any sense, but it's a bizarre implementation of Kinect and other technologies.
It seems like fun.
It's very fun.
It definitely seems like fun. So my pick of the week is the Secret Build Easter Egg. And Juri Kohalev, I hope I got his name right, and discovered this first. So if you actually go to, what is it?
Buildwindows.com.
Buildwindows.com under /JavaScript, mm-hmm. or people did a view source, and they saw a deferred JavaScript file called dev.js.
Yep.
You open it up, and you see a ASCII representation of the build logo. And then underneath it is a base64 code mm-hmm. that gives you a tweet that you type in and send to the BuildWin account, and you can actually get a free pass.
Free pass, yeah.
To build. So Juri got it in 35 minutes of us posting the site up, was looking at the code and clearly looking at the source for all the JavaScript files.
Right.
Finds it, decodes it, sends the tweet, and unfortunately he can't go, but he's nice enough to let Andre, his friend, take his pass for him.
Okay.
So that's pretty awesome, and it was funny. We were going back and forth when we actually built this on the site, whether somebody's ever going to find it. And
I didn't think anyone would. I thought it was a little too obscure, a little too buried. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. 35 minutes, and we thought it'd be weeks before somebody actually, you know, just happened to hit on mm-hmm. this. So clearly, we need to make it more difficult.
A difficult one for build next year, I guess.
Yeah, little harder Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. So to play. So thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Here we are.
All right, thanks, folks. Appreciate it. See you next time.